The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, I want you to turn to Psalm 100. We're going to just look at the scripture, just a couple of verses, because the teaching this morning is God's protocol of praise. I want to talk about it, then we're going to do it. I would submit praise and worship is something we really need to understand, because it is the key to bringing in the presence of the Lord, and it's in His presence that the Spirit is released through the gifts to heal us. How many of y'all could use some healing, encouragement, deliverance, fresh anointing, boldness, all these things that comes with the presence of the Lord? And what draws the presence of the Lord is praise and worship. We ought to actually draw in the presence of the Lord through praise and worship. Now, you know, it's one thing when you do it individually, but it's something else when you do it corporately. When we're together, it brings something significant in the room that you're not going to find as easily personally. Right? So it's really important we understand corporately how to enter in and what we're trying to do, because I really like it when the Spirit of the Lord comes in and the gifts. You know, phenomenon. God's wanting to release us and increase the giftings among us. You know, the prophetic, the gifts of spirit in the area of miracles and healing, words of knowledge, discernment, these types of things, and not just flowing through the person up front, but flowing through the body. Well, Psalm 100, classic psalm: make a joyful noise of the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It's He that's made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures through all generations. Have y'all ever heard of the word protocol? The word protocol, the definition, is a special ceremonial form of greeting or approach when coming before an important person. For instance, if you were in England, the Queen of England is an important personage, you don't just go see the Queen in shorts and flip-flops. You know, if you're privileged to come into the presence of the Queen, there are certain protocols, certain the way. In fact, if the President invited you, one thing I like about George Bush, our president, he decided at the very beginning of his presidency that no man would be in the Oval Office unless he wore a coat. Certain previous, inhabitants of that office brought shame, and he decided to bring a dignity. So you cannot enter the Oval Office unless you are dressed formally. It spoke of and the reason is he wanted to bring respect to the office. And if you got a call from the press secretary of the president, he says, the president would like to meet with you and consult with you because he's heard that you have some good ideas on how to deal with something. I'd come all around, Now, I admit, George Bush is pretty laid back, likes barbecue, Crawford, Texas. But still, I would submit you'd have your shirt tucked in. Hello? How about your boss? Have you ever been called into your boss? Do you go in with your shirt hanging out? No, there's a protocol. Some of y'all do. Okay, well, you do. Well, maybe your boss's shirt is out. Well, I would submit that with God, there's a certain protocol. There's a way in which we enter into His presence. And it's really important to understand this. In fact, I've been incorporating this in my quiet times of late and finding it's very, very effective. It really works. It's a powerful thing. And we're told right here, verse 4, enter into His gates. Gates speaks of the doorway in with what? Now, it's interesting. The word thanksgiving there is Hebrew. It means to extend the hands. That's what it means. To lift up the hands. You know, that's really, the gate speaks of thanksgiving is the way you get things moving. Overcomes inertia. But we are all by nature, we kind of default to laziness and passivity and inertia. And thanksgiving, you're actually focusing on something other than yourself. See, we can start with thanksgiving because you can always thank the Lord for what He's done. That's kind of the beginning. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank You, Lord. Your mercies are new every day. Thank You, Lord, for my health. Thank You for my job. Thank You for a free country. Amen? Thank You that you can give thanks to the Lord. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is the first thing, to give thanks to God. Ungratefulness opens the door to every kind of evil. So the first thing in you enter the presence of the Lord is to give thanks. A lot of times I'll say that when we start out worship. Let's all give thanks to the Lord. It's kind of a surface, kind of a beginning. We really see a type here of the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, of the tabernacle and the temple. In the outer court, you know, it's where the priests out exposed in the sun. It was kind of where the people would bring the sacrifices. It speaks of the sacrifice. The first thing we thank God for Jesus. Thank Jesus for the suffering. Thank Jesus for making a way. Can I amen? So it's His will. Now praise on the next. Look at verse 4, the second part. And into His courts with what? Isn't that interesting? Start with thanksgiving, then move into praise. And the Greek word, the Hebrew word there, means to laud, glorify, and express admiration and approval. I really believe praise reflects a genuine relationship with God. You know, it's possible for someone to be unsaved and to thank God. People say that, okay, thank God, you know. But praise speaks if you have a relationship with Him. All right, it's one thing to know someone, to be thankful for them, but it's another thing to know someone so well, you praise their character to others. Let me say that thing. It's one thing to know somebody to be thankful for, right? But it's another to know somebody so well that you will praise their character to others. So, you know, I'm really grateful and thankful for that person for what they did. But tell us, so, you know, I want to tell you about this individual. I'm not only grateful, but I want to tell you they are the kind of person that you can trust. They're the kind of person, I vouch for them. I have a relationship with them. I've seen them through thick and thin. They're trustworthy. They prove themselves to be faithful. I attest to their character. That's praise. And really, so we go from thanking God to praising God, to not just praising Him, thanking Him for what He did, but praising Him, ready for who He is. So you can say, thank You, Lord, for, you know, doing this, that, and the other, rescuing me from this situation, coming through for this and that. Lord, praise You that You are a faithful God. Praise You that You are loving. Praise You that You're merciful and forbearing, kind, and amen? Praise is a level higher than thanksgiving. It speaks of the inner court. You know, where the priests would operate between the table of the showbread, the candelabra, and the altar of incense, walking across pattern. He would offer up incense of praise to God. Folks, Bible says, I will bless the Lord, His praise shall what? God wants us to live in the inner court. Wants to abide in the presence, give thanks in all things. Ephesians 5 says, what is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? In everything give thanks. By Him let's offer a sacrifice of praise, Hebrews 13. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But then He says, making joyful noise in your heart, singing with melody in your heart unto the Lord. Praising Him. Am I making sense today? There really is a protocol. That doesn't mean you can't just walk up to the Lord and praise Him. No. Doesn't mean you can't enter right into worship. But I would submit a lot of times we're stuck in such inertia, we're stuck in such soulless mindedness, that if you approach the Lord with a protocol, you'll find it easy to get in. When you start your quiet time, just start thanking God. Thomas, do you thank God for those 19 kids you have? Oh, I'm sorry, I always forget the number. 7 kids? You know, you go down the list, right? Thank Him for those kids. How many of y'all thank God for the people in your life? Some of y'all, that's an act of faith, but you thank God. Amen? God likes faith. You thank Him for the good things. Thank Him for your job. Thank Him for His provision. Thank you that you didn't, He didn't exact upon you what your iniquity deserves. Can you hear an amen? Thank Him. He's redeemed you from the lowest hell. He's pulled you out of the pit, put your feet on a rock, put a new song in your mouth. Amen? Thank You when you have calamities. But then you move into praise. Lord, I praise You for Your goodness, the character of Your faithfulness. I can trust You. I can lean on You. I can rely on You. I can find peace in You. I can find rest in You. I can thank You, Lord, that You've given me the ability to discern, that you're here and I can enter into rest. Praise you, Lord, for the goodness. You know, that's where the Psalms speak a lot about the character of God, the nature of God. You know, in my list of music, I'm a list of teachings, I have different sections like end times and freedom for the troubles of the heart and, you know, this and that. And I have one section called the attributes of God. And I just, how many teachings is this? 1,500. And I've got all my teachings broke down in these sections. I mean, over 1,500 teachings. And in God's attributes, I've collated the teachings that attribute to the nature of God. And I've really got a lot of them in there. I've done a lot of teaching on His mercy, on His patience, on His forbearance. One time I did a teaching called on His put-up-with-itness. Anybody relate to that? His put-up-with-itness. His tolerance. His grace. His kindness that leads us to repentance. His anger endures for a moment, but with the everlasting mercy shall He shower you. Can you hear amen? Now finally we get to the third protocol. Flip back to Psalm 95, the third step, verse 2. Just flip back. Psalm 95, 2. Let us come before His presence. How? There it is again. Make a joyful noise in Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all the earth. Look at verse 6. Oh, come, let us what? Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That word kneel in the Hebrew, literally kneel in humble adoration. There's your protocol. This is where God wants to get us, in the inner court. You know, where the high priest went once a year. In fact, we're told in John 4 that the Father seeks what? That will worship Him how? He seeks worshipers. The inner court is really, it's not so much you're giving thanks or you're praising. It's you enter the presence where then God ministers to you. It's different. It's like the first two when you're getting in. But it's in the inner court. It's interesting. When the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he did nothing, just stood there. After he sprinkled blood, he just stood there in the Shekinah glory of God. A real type that God wants us to enter into rest where He ministers to you. You sit and soak in His presence. You learn to be still. What? And know that I'm God. You know, part of every quiet time, every time with the Lord is to find a stillness. Some of us are afraid of that. You have a quiet time with the Lord, you feel like you got to talk the whole time or read or sing or pray. But that's getting in. Where are you getting? Into the secret place of the Most High, in the shelter of the Most High. Amen? Under the shadow of the Almighty. God wants you to come in so you be still and be quiet, and then you can hear His voice. How does He speak? In a what? Still small. And how are you going to hear it but you're still? So one of the goals every quiet I have a booklet I've written called Putting Quiet in Your Quiet Time, is to get into the inner court where I'm still, I can listen. It's interesting that Thanksgiving really shoves out a lot of the demons. Thanksgiving just eliminates a lot of the petty things and gripey things and whiny things. Praise lifts you up out of yourself into the heavenlies. But worship, to sing in tongues, to adore the Lord. One thing I found is I love singing and worshiping in tongues, just to sing in the Spirit and worship until I sense the presence of the Lord fall upon me, the presence of His glory, the peace of His glory, where it's stillness. And at that point, shut up, be still, listen. For all you know, the Spirit comes to show you things to come. He'll reveal things to you. He'll speak to you. He'll confirm things. He'll tie all the knots together or He'll untangle them. He'll quicken things. He'll give you visions and dreams. He'll lift you up in the heavenlies. All of these supernatural experiences occur in the Holy of Holies. Can you hear amen? You know, it's interesting, in the tabernacle, the most supernatural things happened in the Holy of Holies. God would come down in a pillar of cloud, speak from off the mercy seat. The inner court is the glory of the presence, the fullness of joy, abundance of peace. That's what it's all about. That's really what the protocol of worship is. That's really what my teaching was today. Was just to talk to us, that Scripture talks about a way to come to God. And some of us, we forget. You know, we come to the Lord and we immediately start asking Him for stuff or complaining. And that's okay. God's a big God. He'll meet you where you are. But He really wants you to grow up and come deeper. Not me, 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 gimme, 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 gimme. I've found that there is a place in the protocol to ask to make requests made known to God. But start with thanksgiving. Enter his gates, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what I have before I bug you for what I need. Amen? Thank you for what you've given me before I petition for more. Amen? God really wants us to grow up. You know, some of us compare ourselves to others. We get caught up in envy and covetousness and strife, looking at others and saying, how come they're... I'm telling you what, that's a loser's game. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Everything that God has for you, that's what he's ordained for you for eternity. You will always be you. Is that a scary thought? Did you know when you die and go to heaven, you're still going to be you? Some of you will go, oh my God, I thought I'd be somebody else. No. You're going to be you. You will be you, Jenny. 10 trillion years from now, Jenny will still look at me with that look she has. Of course, it'll be for hopefully glorified eyeballs. Last place, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. In conclusion, folks, let me tell you. You ready? We're called to abide in the Holy of Holies. The revelation, we're called to live in worship. Abide. I believe, really, I'm just giving you some revelation from Scripture. If you find yourself being tripped up by the demons, immediately give thanks to the Lord. And begin to worship and praise Jesus and have come into the Father. You really see the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. Something about the presence of the Father. I don't understand this, but actually, the manifestation of God, he manifests different ways. He really does. When the Spirit of the Lord is in the room, or when Jesus comes in the room, or when the Father comes. And there have been times that God the Father has come into this room. Not as frequently I'd like. And it was awesome and no one could think a thought. All you could do is look down at the carpet and stare and your mind is totally still for the presence of the weight of his glory. Can you imagine? It's in those times we invite the Lord to heal, to deliver, to set, because there's a power and of the giftings. And every service ought to bring in the glory. The reason the glory doesn't come in, frankly, is we control the lever. We control the lever. I think the message, this revival that's been sweeping around the country and the recent revival shows us, is a hungry people come in and is a hunger and thirst. They bring in the anointing. I know in Sherringham, I went to Bible, they said they will worship for two and a half hours, for crying out loud. You know, you worship 2 and 2.5 hours, you're finally going to let go of your stuff. And you're craving the presence of God. You know, God, there's no vacuum. He comes in with power. And people supernaturally heal to a phenomenal degree. And the words of knowledge and the giftings operate on those leading the revival meetings to a phenomenal degree. The full anointing in a minister's life can come forth as the people come with hunger. Really, the people set the tone. Your hunger sets the tone. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. For what? So God's teaching us. Last verse, Psalm 27:4. One thing I have a desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Not be a doorkeeper, live there, abide all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. And I was got to thinking, it's interesting, he says to behold the beauty, then to inquire. See, a lot of times we bring in our queries, our questions, our issues before we behold the beauty of the Lord. God wants us to see him high and lifted up. When we behold the beauty of the Lord, guess what? Then delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you what? Because the desires of your heart line up with what he wants. You get down to the core issues rather than, Lord, I want this and I want that to take away my pain, take away my discomfort, to take away my frustration. You finally get to where Jesus, Father, I ask your spirit to come to burn away that inside of me that keeps me from your presence. See, that's a deeper, and he will, and ironically, your pain and your frustration, discomfort spring from that. That's the root. He'll go for the root. Can you hear an amen? Let's all stand.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.